ask that you pray for Karen. She's not doing well. She got the flu last week sometime, and she went down to the clinic, I guess, a couple days ago, and she was diagnosed with the flu, whatever. She's going to be probably out another couple of days. I think she's like going to be contagious until like Wednesday or something. But she's doing better. That's good. So as long as she don't breathe on me and try to, hopefully she can keep her hands off me. It's kind of hard. But I think I'll be doing okay. Try to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day you've given us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for this mission conference, Lord. I just ask that you help me this morning and preach, and Lord, you just clear our minds, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just do thank you, Lord, for your salvation, Lord, that you've given us. Such a marvelous work, Lord, you put us into. Lord, I just ask that you just call more to your service, Lord. We ask you to revive us. Ask these things in Jesus' name. You know, as I was thinking about what I wanted to share today, I can't convince you that winning souls is the best thing that you could do. I really can't do it. This week, you're going to be hearing a lot about winning souls. You're going to hear a lot about our job and our responsibility. And I don't know if you thought about it much, but God saved you so you could tell others about the salvation that God has given you. That's why you're here. That is why God saved you and put you in this church. You know, I thank God that we are a part. This assembly here is just a real blessing that we put such emphasis on getting the gospel out. Saving souls. This should be our passion. The bad thing about it is sometimes we lose that passion. The bad thing about it is sometimes we lose that focus that I think that we need to always have. You know, mission conferences, that's why we're here. That's why we're coming. And all this week, if you come every night, which I hope you do, tonight's going to be the biggest hump, I think, for a lot of us, right? Not being able to watch the second half of the Super Bowl. But who cares? The Cowboys aren't in it, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, all this week we're going to be trying to not only stir ourselves up and preach God's Word, but we're going to try to make you understand. Those of you who probably haven't done much in the way of saving souls, getting the gospel out, we're going to try to convince you that this is a worthy vocation. This is something that you and I can be a part of. And it's incredible because we don't have to go to seminary to tell somebody how to get saved. If you're saved this morning, just tell them exactly how you got saved. Amen. But you know, and the possibilities are endless. You know, I mean, look at how many of us are in here today. You know, could you imagine if each one of us could win one person this year? We would double the size. I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but I know that much. We could double the size of this church if we won one person this year. But you know why we don't win people? You know why we don't have people coming down and getting saved week after week? Because we don't do it. We don't go out. But you know, this is why Jesus came. His whole mission in life was to come, the Bible says, to seek that which was lost. That's why he came. You know, I can't convince you. I really can't. I can't. I wish I could. I wish I could convince each and every one of you that you need to go out. You need to support missions. You need to be a missionary right here in San Antonio. You need to tell everybody how to get saved. I wish I could convince you, but I can't do it. Only God can do that. And sometimes I think, you know, that we hinder what God wants us to do by just simply not caring. You know, I want to read here in Mark chapter 1. As Brother Trini said, we're going to be moving to another city, Lord willing, real soon. Brother Steven's going to be looking for a house as soon as he gets back from the mission conference. I think this month they'll be looking for a home there in Puebla. And Puebla is about 40 minutes southeast of Mexico City. So we're doing our best to go around Mexico City. We don't want to go inside Mexico City. It's too big. But Puebla, we've been there, we've preached there, and we're really excited about the work. And I'm really excited to see what God's going to do there. But you know, as I was thinking about this, I want to read here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 32. It says, "And at the even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into the solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." Just two quick thoughts in my 5-minute sermon. Two quick thoughts. The first is, he says here, "For therefore came I forth." And this was my introduction to you guys. This is why we're here. Jesus came into this world to preach and to save sinners. That's why he was here. But you know, if you think about this chapter, and if you read it, some incredible things happened here. You know? I mean, this is where Jesus shows up and he tells the apostles that I'm going to make you fishers of men. Right? This is where we see that Christ was healing people and they had a lot of problems. And then we also see right here that the people, it said here in 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. Peter says, "All men seek for thee." You know, this is a real good place to be. You know, and if you think about it, you know, when we go to a new city and we start working and we start preaching and God starts saving souls and these people who are not the same ever again because they got saved and they start working with you and you know them and you get to love them, and then it's kind of hard to move to another city. It really is hard. You know, you guys are basically just stuck here if you're here in San Antonio. I mean, this is it, right? For most of y'all, right? And it could probably get a little bit discouraging, right? Just being here. But you know what? God wants us to go to the next town. God wants us to go somewhere else. You know, and When we think about the idea of going to a new city in Puebla and soon having a church there, oh man, that really excites me. That really gets me really excited to be able to see God move in another city. But it also saddens me because I'm going to be leaving a church behind. I'm going to be leaving a church that is functioning. It's incredible. We have a pastor there. We've been working with him for the past year. A good man. We have people there that are meeting. We have people there that are preaching. And it's time for us to move to another city. But when you think about everything that was going on here in Mark chapter 1, people were getting healed. People were at the door waiting to come in. I mean, they wanted to not only get something from Christ, but they wanted to hear Him. They wanted to see Him. They wanted to talk to Him. Peter said, "All men are looking for you." This was a good place to be. You know? Have you thought about that? I mean, why not just stay there, right? Why not? I mean, these apostles say, man, we have a real good work going on here. I mean, people are actually coming to us. We don't have to leave anywhere. Obviously, this is where the apostles were from, right? Because in the verses before, it says that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. They were at his house. I mean, they had all the comfort. Jesus wasn't sleeping in caves or in holes or you know, whatever out on the street. At this point, he actually had somewhere to be. He had comfort. But you know what? That's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to be comfortable. And he didn't save you to be comfortable. He saved you so we could save other people. You know, and as I think about this, we cannot lose the importance of taking the gospel to the world. You know, God didn't put the emphasis, Jesus didn't put the emphasis on healing. He put the emphasis on preaching the gospel. The Bible says that He chose the foolishness of preaching to save us. You know, as I think about this, I think there's some principles here, very important, about going to the next town. And you know what? If you miss them, if you miss this, I think you've missed the whole point of why you're saved. The whole point of why God puts you in this church. I don't think that we are put into this church as an accident. I think when God saved me a long time ago, I only had one long in mind. A long time ago, when God saved me, I truly think that not only did He save me, but He knew one day He was going to call me to go to Mexico. This is why He saved me. Of course, I had no idea. You know? I mean, you know, when I come up here and I listen to talk radio, I like that guy, Joe Pags. Every time when they call him up and they say, how you doing? He goes, I'm living a dream. Living a dream, brother. Well, I never would have dreamed what I'm doing. Yeah. I mean, this was the farthest from what I was thinking I was going to do for the rest of my life. But you know what? Serving the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching to people who haven't heard what you and I hear on a daily basis. And you know, and what Corey was saying about getting excited, I think we have to do it. I think it's a decision. You know? I think the devil is still using that same old lie, because if you're not involved in reaching the lost, if you're not involved in saving the lost, you're dying. Every single day, a little bit more. You know? What did the devil tell Eve? You shall surely not die. You need to be involved. You need to be in the gospel. You need to be a part of the gospel. You need to be doing what God wants you to do. This is what He expects of you. To take the gospel to a dying and lost world. Lots of times we want comfort. Lots of times we want God to give us what we want. Just like these people. I'm sure a lot of these people were thinking and were only looking for Christ for healing. For something that they needed. And they possibly needed it. You know, these things are very good things. But you know what was even better? Jesus says, I got to go to the next town and I got to preach. I got to go to the next town and I got to save souls. There's a principle here, I think, of why we do this. I mean, because it is kind of crazy when you think about it. I mean, I think about it lots of times, thinking, man, you know, for somebody to get up and to leave to and go to another country, it's remarkable. It's pretty crazy. You know? Because as most of us here who have gone from this church, I mean, this is our country. And yet we are living in another country, and lots of times trying to fit in, and there's no way to really just fit in. You know what I'm saying? But we do it because this is what we're supposed to do. I truly feel that if I'm not in Mexico, I'm not doing what God wants me to do. I truly believe that. You know, there's some principles here of why we do this. Why you give money year after year. You know? These missionaries, and especially the ones in Poland, because we actually come out a whole lot more than they do. But some of these guys in Poland, you don't even know them that well. You know? And you're giving your money to them, and they're preaching the gospel in another country. And they're doing it because they have a vision, and they have a love, obviously, for the gospel. This is what we're supposed to be doing. As crazy as it sounds, as far-fetched as it sounds for us to go and do this, this is what we have to do. And there's some principles here, I think, very important of why we need to go to the next town. You know, this is the most important thing. You know, Bible prophecy and all that stuff isn't that important. You know, I mean, it's good to study the Bible. I'm not saying for you not to study the Bible, right? Or, you know, not to try to figure out what all those, you know, parables mean, or the 10 toes in Daniel's, you know, in the book of Daniel. All that stuff is good. But you know what the most important thing? Taking the gospel to a dying world. Bible prophecy is great. I'd love to hear somebody who can actually teach and know something. I love to hear them. And it gets me all excited. I'm thinking, you know, who knows if they're right or wrong, but it's good. But you know what? If we just sat here, if we just came just to fill our heads with what might be, or what's going to happen in the future, or who's going to line up with Iran and Russia and all these things, we're missing the point.
That's right.
Saving souls. It's just incredible to me when they show up here and they say, "All men seek for thee." And what is his response? It's incredible. It says, "All men seek for thee." And he said, "Let us go into the next towns." That was his answer. It wasn't like, "Man, great, we're going to have a huge revival. Look, all these people are here, right? They're all happy. They're all ready to hear me." No, Jesus said, "We're going to go to the next town." I think that he wanted to impress this idea on these men that it was important to go to the next town. And just very simple, just a few things that I just want to mention why it's important for us to go to the next town. And one thing that I thought of is, obviously God loves sinners. You know, this is an amazing thing. I do not understand it. Why would God love me? You know? I mean, this just boggles my mind because we're not lovely people. I know we try to deceive ourselves and think we are lovely people. Right? Because we think about all these other countries and what they do and the things and the way they live and all this stuff. We're thinking, no, we're not like them. You're exactly like them. You are not lovely people. We are not lovely people. And yet God loved us. Because God loved us, I think this is one of the main principles, I think, for us going to another town, for us sending our money, for us working hard and giving our money to the gospel and giving our money so that we can reach other people. And these people that are actually born again in these other countries, you will probably never, ever meet. I'll probably never meet the churches in Poland. I probably never will. It's too cold over there. Praise the Lord for internet, right? Just take some pictures. But you know, you probably, even as close as we are to Mexico, you probably never meet the churches in Mexico. And the sad thing about it, especially now, the reason why you won't, is because all the problems are going on in Mexico. You know? Oh, I ain't gonna go to Mexico. They chop people up. They roll their heads in the plazas. Yeah, they do that. But you know, what are we going to do? Come back? What are we going to do? Stop giving? What are we going to do? Forget about them? Because they have economic problems right now, because they're having turmoil in different parts of the world, because things are getting harder, because things are getting harder here. We're just going to give up? No. Jesus says, we got to go to the next town. You know, our time is short. Have you realized that? I'm like, I don't know, 41 or 42, I forget. If Karen was here, she'd tell me. But I'm around there, 41, 42. And man, time just flew by. It's incredible. Been down in Mexico, went down there in 1994. That seemed like ages ago. But man, God has allowed me to see awesome things. And because of a lot of people here, we're able to live in another country and actually preach the gospel and not be a burden to anybody else. But we are a burden to you. The first principle here is because God loves us. You know, it's not natural for us to love people. It's not natural for us to love people who don't love us. But you know, it's an amazing thing. I've actually met people who hated me, who literally ridiculed me at the first. I'd show up and I'd be given a Bible study to their sister, their brother, their mom, their dad, and they hated me. And it cost me a whole bunch to love them. But I would say, hi, how you doing? And then we'd give a Bible study, and they wouldn't come in. And you know, it's just an amazing thing how God just touches them. And then they get saved. And then they love us. And they want to give stuff to us because of what they've received. Of course, we don't take that. You know, there's a brother who I love the fellowship with him. He's from Guadalajara. His name's Alberto Sotelo. He's a missionary from one of our churches down there. And when he was living in Celaya one time, and he went and he evangelized the family and he gave them the gospel. And they got saved. And one day he shows up to his house. And him and his wife get to his house, to their house, and there was a big box of food there with a note. And they said, thank you for bringing us the gospel. He grabbed that box and he took it back to him. He said, I can't take this. I can't take it. I did this because I'm just obeying God. They ended up just giving it to somebody else. He did not want to lose his reward. He did not want to mess up the principle of the gospel for us to preach freely to somebody else. Yeah, it is a burden for you, but somebody else has gotten the benefit of your sacrifices. God's love is the first principle, I think. That's why he wanted to go. I mean, obviously God loved the people that were there, but I'm thinking he had other people on his mind, obviously. You know? Other people needed healing. Other people needed to walk. Other people needed to see. Other people needed to hear the gospel. That's why he wanted to go. You know, the second thing I thought of was God obviously understands the hurt that people have. You know, people are hurting. You know, last week we had to go to Querétaro from Toluca to do our audit for the church there in Toluca. And so we went to Querétaro, and on the way over there, I think it took us, I don't know, like maybe, I don't know, it took like 4.5 hours or something like that, right? Normally it would take us like maybe 2.5 to get there. It was an incredible amount of time. And the reason was because there's literally hundreds and hundreds of people doing a pilgrimage to the Virgin. You know, these people actually think that they're doing God a service. And they carry these images. People are hurting. People are enslaved in idolatry. It's incredible. You know, you see, and I grew up Catholic here in the States, but Catholicism in the United States is not like Catholicism in Mexico. It is literally a bondage to the people down there. There's a guy in our church there in Toluca that he used to, before he got saved probably maybe like a few months ago, he got saved. Every single year, he would make two pilgrimages from Toluca. He would leave at 9 o'clock at night to get to the Basilica of Guadalupe in Mexico City that next morning by maybe 9 or 10 if he was lucky. 12 hours. Twice a year. Oh, they got faith. They got a lot of faith. But this faith doesn't save. I can't explain to you the burden that how it just falls off these people when they find out that in order to be saved, all they got to do is repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And just the biggest burden just fall right off. And no one told these people before. Or at least they didn't listen before. You know, we got people down there who are so thankful and so wholeheartedly given to the gospel. It's incredible, brothers. God loves these people. God understands their hurt. That's why we need to go. God loves them, and God understands exactly the difficulties that these people are going through. Now, the third thing is the reason why we have to go to the next town, the reason why you have to witness to people. You know what? You have to do it if you're not involved in evangelism. Don't deceive yourself and think because you show up on Wednesday or Sunday, you're actually doing God a service. You got to go out. You have to take a Sunday and go knock on some doors. Maybe you're thinking that, well, because you don't have the gift to preach, because you can't stand out there and scream, that, well, you can't do anything. Or maybe you're of the opinion that, well, you give. You know, and that's enough. No. God wants us to have fruit. Each one of us have fruit to multiply. This is what we need to do. Multiply. Not only us, but think about all our youth in this church and the ones who are no longer here. Isn't that a sad situation? The ones that are no longer here? The ones who just ruined their lives? Well, up to right now. Because like the brother said, all they got to do is repent. That's all you got to do. You know, it's just so so easy. I mean, it's easy to say it. So hard to do. You want to get right with God? Just repent. But this is why we have to go to the next towns. But we have a huge responsibility. Look what it says there in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 24. Just real quick. And you know, I really don't want to make Proverbs 24. I really don't want to make anybody upset. I really don't want to make anybody feel bad. I'm trying my best to make everybody feel bad. Okay, every single one of us, including myself. This should wake us up. You know, I'm not picking on one certain group or a certain, you know, amount of backsliders or whatever it is. We have a great responsibility. And Jesus, I think he took this moment in this perfect time there in Mark chapter 1 when they came and said, all men are seeking for you, man. This is awesome. This is great. When you said we're going to be fishers of men, you were kidding. And Jesus said, no, you haven't seen nothing yet. Nothing. We got to go to the next town. Look what it says there in Proverbs chapter 24. It says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? You know, we can't get complacent. You can't do too much for God. You know? You know what I heard in this place one time, a long time ago, that you can't take the gospel to the wrong house? That was That was like a revelation, man. I mean, I don't know if Brother Lindell thought of it himself or what, you know? But when he said that, I thought, man, that makes a lot of sense, you know? You can't talk to somebody who doesn't need the gospel. I know lots of times that's how we feel, right? I mean, how many times have you knocked on any kind of a door to talk to people? I mean, you're almost praying that those people aren't even home. Right? You're thinking, oh man, I just got one more door. Just please, just, for them not to be home, I'm just going to leave the track and read it later. But they need what we have. And you need to truly believe it. What you have, the gospel, being involved in this, to be able to reach somebody and get them saved, it's just a marvelous thing. And this is our responsibility. You know what the reality of this verse says? That people are dying. Look what it says. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. That's the reality. People are dying and going to hell. And you know what? Hell isn't a very nice subject, right? We try to avoid it like the plague. Because, you know, hell doesn't bring people together. You know? I mean, they actually get mad when you tell them about that. They actually think that we are full of pride to say that we're not going to hell and they're in danger of going to hell. They actually feel like this is something that we're actually saying that we're good. But you know what? We're not good. The only reason why you and I aren't going to hell is because Jesus Christ saved us. That's the only reason. You know, we have a responsibility. And these people are dying. They're ready to be slain. And thousands of people die every single day. Every single day. And you choose to ignore it. We actually choose not to think about it. Because it's pretty sad, isn't it? That's the reality of it. But you know, the response is even, I think, scarier. That we can actually go to God and say, and tell Him, just like it says there in verse 12, behold, we knew it not. How can we say that? We knew it not. We didn't have any idea. This was our responsibility? I didn't know it. No, it's our responsibility. We can probably choose not to understand it. We can choose not to do any more. We can choose to even say, I've done enough. But to say to God one day, I didn't know it. I didn't know that you wanted me to continue to do this. I didn't know you wanted me to continue to live a righteous life. Holy, given to you, working for you, loving you, doing your will. I didn't know it. No. But you know what? God, we're all going to be, and we're all going to be in front of the judgment seat of Christ one day. Have you ever thought about that? Now, I don't know. I don't know all that. I mean, you know, like I said, I read some things in there, and I'm thinking we're all going to stand before God, and we're going to be, you know, in the judgment seat of Christ, and we're thinking we're going to be judged for what we did, you know, here for Him. I mean, obviously, it's not talking about salvation. We're saved. You know, praise God for that. But something's going to happen in that judgment. And it's our judgment. What we didn't do. What we did. God's going to have a reckoning one day. He pondereth the heart, the Bible says. Have we considered that? God knows our lives. God knows exactly how we're thinking. How we're trying to avoid the responsibility. No, we need to go to the next towns. We need to make an effort. We need to make more of an effort to reach our neighbors, to reach our people, to reach your immediate vicinity. You have to do it. You can't just sit here and say, that isn't my job. That's the job of the missionaries. That's why we invite them to come to preach to us. No, that's your job. Just like it's my job. It's not the job of the pastors to win souls only. That's your job. You need to bring them to Christ by any means. You say, I can't explain that much. I don't know how. Bring them here. There's a lot of people, I guarantee you, in this place, in this assembly, who know how to explain the gospel in an effective way. And you know the amazing thing about this? It's crazy because I don't consider myself, I know I don't explain myself very well. I know I do. I drive Bill crazy sometimes because when he tells me something or he asks me something and I try to explain it and he goes, I see it, he's like pulling his hair out, you know? And I know I don't explain myself very well and I try. So I know that when I speak to somebody and I tell them about Christ, it's not me that they're believing. When they get saved, it's all Christ. It's Him opening their eyes. It's Him opening their hearts. That is such a relief, brother. To know that all we have to do is go out. All we have to do is go out to the next town. All we have to do is open our mouth. All we have to do is tell them about Jesus. That's all we have to do. And yet we don't do it. We have a huge responsibility. We can't just let this, man, my 5 minutes is gone, hasn't it? One more point and we're done. The good thing is we're all eating here. One more thing. Not only because God loves the sinners, not only because God understands that they need them. I mean, even though they don't understand this, God knows. God understands. They have a need. And then we have a responsibility to go to the next town. But there's one more thing that's just incredible to me, because right here we see in verse, there in Mark chapter 1, and I'll close with this. Mark chapter 1. Here it says, in verse 38, it says, let us go into the next town. You know, it's a real comfort to know that Jesus goes with us, you know, to the next town. And it really is a comfort to know that if we're with Christ, nothing can go wrong. Right? But then we see at the end of this book where Jesus says, go ye into all the world. Well, that's a different story, right? We're thinking now we have to go by ourselves. But you know, in reality, we're not going by ourselves. And Nelda quoted a verse a little while ago in Matthew. And He'll be with us always. Till the end of the world. We can go to the next town because Christ is always with us. Obviously, He's not with us physically. But He's with us. I believe that with all my heart. I know Christ is going to, and He has blessed us. It's an amazing thing. I'm excited to go to Puebla because we're going to start with zero. Nothing. Steve and I had a great time preaching there a couple weeks ago. Went downtown, lots of people on the street. We even got some contacts. I mean, it was great, and no one's doing it. We're talking about a city who have a lot of Christians there. They have, I mean, a lot of people, but no one's preaching in the street. I showed up there and I asked a few people, "Have you ever seen anybody stand out here and preach the gospel?" No. No one's doing it. Why? Didn't God command us to do this? Didn't God say that He chose the foolish of preaching to say? This is exactly what if we're following exactly what God has told us to do, and He's going to bless us. We need to go to the next towns. We need to go in Jesus' name, to save those that need to hear the gospel. God loves them. God knows they're hurting. They're dying and going to hell. You have a responsibility. You cannot shun this. You cannot say, I've already done enough. You can't say, you can't do it. How many times do I feel that way? 42 years old, I think I've done enough. I haven't done enough. I pray to God that I can do this the rest of my life. I pray to God that I can be useful to Him all my life doing this. But you pray for us. especially pray for Brother Steve. He's having to work with me, his uncle. So we're going to go and try to start this work there in Puebla. And by God's grace, next year, we can be back here and say, man, look at what God's done. Well, we're going to go to the next town. Amen.